All right, if you got your Bibles this morning, Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. We'll begin in the very first verse. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you, Lord, for your presence here in this place. Lord, an opportunity to be gathered together in this place that you've given to us to hear from you this morning. Lord, we thank you. We've had opportunity to worship in song this morning, Lord, that we're reminded of the fact that you truly have paid it all for us. Lord, that we have opportunity to know you as our personal Lord and Savior, and Lord, to have relationship and fellowship together with you and as a church. And Lord, I pray this morning as we open your word, Lord, that we would truly be in an attitude of worship and fellowship today. Lord, that you might bind Satan from this place, and Lord, that your spirit would move freely in this building and in this place and in the hearts and the lives of your people here today. Lord, I pray that you would just guide us through these things and that you would speak your words through me. And we ask these things in your precious name. Amen. Acts chapter 19, beginning in verse number 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were you baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. We see a very distinct situation happening as we move on in the ministry of Paul and his missionary journeys. Again, as we see him traveling from place to place, church to church, in different groups and fellowship with other believers in Christ. We come up as a reminder, as we studied last time together, of this man named Apollos. And we see a real quick glimpse of this man named Apollos was a faithful servant of the Lord. He was teaching the Word of God as much as he knew it. If you remember what we studied last week, he knew some of the Scripture, but not all of the Scripture. And we see the church, faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, that helped Apollos to come to the right fellowship and right relationship with the Lord. And we see now as Paul continues on in his ministry, in his missionary journeys here, we see him move on from Corinth into Ephesus. As it says here, he found certain disciples. It was a good indication that we see here that they were disciples of something. We recognize today that there's an opportunity for people to be disciples of something and not really be the disciples of Christ. And not really be a disciple that is truly following the things of Christ in the pattern that we should be in. It's important for us today to know that this does still occur in the world that we live in today. When we really take into consideration the word disciple, it just truly means that somebody has been taught or is being trained in a way, in a certain pattern, in a certain place. And we might just take the general context of this word disciple, and individuals today can be disciples of a lot of things. They can be discipled or trained into certain things of the world and certain things amongst religions and beliefs. And in this context, as we read it here in the book of Acts, these individuals were disciples, and they were disciples of the message of John. And we remember, of course, the context of the verse that we discover in the Gospels, and we see what John was preaching and teaching was that there was a Savior coming, right? He was preaching and teaching that there was a Messiah that was to come, and that he was pointing people to a relationship with Jesus Christ. And this is the message that we see here in these verses. They were schooled very specifically in this message. He said unto them, Have you received the Holy Ghost? As Paul came into relationship with these people at Ephesus, he said, Have you received the Holy Spirit? And we take into very careful consideration this morning a couple of things. Do you know about the Holy Spirit today? Do you think that the world that we live in today knows about the Holy Spirit? Do you think that as a general rule in the life of the church today, that people really understand the Holy Spirit? Paul asked a very important question for this group of disciples in this place in Ephesus? And it's an important question for us this morning to consider in the life of the church here in Fowler, Colorado. Do you know about the Holy Spirit? Do we know what the Holy Spirit does? Do you know the purpose of the Holy Spirit? And we could go on for hours and hours and hours about the Holy Spirit. If we study out scriptures, we could spend days here discovering the things of the Holy Spirit. But what is very key and very important for us to comprehend in the verses that we're reading this morning is that the Holy Spirit is a very real thing in our life today. The Holy Ghost, as it's mentioned here, is as we study out the truth of Scripture, is to understand this morning in the life of the church that He is a part of the Trinity. Amen. And we would reference the word Trinity, and we may not use that often in our society today in the life of the church. Maybe we don't discuss it as often as we ought. But when we consider today, the Holy Spirit is a part of the Trinity. And now we have to define the Trinity as God the Father. That is our Lord, right? And God, the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. That's an important message for the church to understand today. What is it that we're worshiping? When we talk about worshiping in relationship to the Heavenly Father, when we're worshiping in the name of Jesus Christ, when we're fellowshipping in the pattern of the Holy Spirit, all of these things are important. And what Paul was helping these individuals at the church at Ephesus to understand was that they needed to know the importance of the Holy Spirit. A very key thing for the church today that we believe in our church, and we believe most importantly, not because we're special or set aside from any other church, but that we believe the Word of God in its entirety. And the Word of God tells us that we must understand the truth of the Trinity. And we understand that there is a God, the Heavenly Father, that rules over this entire world, this entire universe that we know, and that He is the Lord of all. And we've discussed that in this chapters that we've read previously in the book of Acts, but we understand that His plan and His purpose was to send His one and only begotten Son, Scripture tells us, right?
Amen.
His Holy Son to this earth. To provide for us an opportunity to be in fellowship with Him through sacrifice in Jesus Christ. And we understand, as Paul is teaching here at the church at Ephesus, this is what he's trying to challenge to these disciples. Now you have to understand this morning, and our heart and our desire this morning in the life of the church is that you would be a disciple of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That we today as the church should be the desire and the goal of our heart here this morning, not only to be that ourselves, but to have others come into that same relationship with Jesus Christ. This is a purpose of the church. To challenge others into right fellowship and relationship with Jesus Christ. So Paul brings into their mind and into their heart, do you know about the Holy Spirit? They were disciples of something, but they didn't necessarily know all of the truth. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Well, we've taken into careful consideration, if Paul asked this question of these believers in Ephesus, so we're talking about individuals that are gathered together, what we might consider the church. And he comes into, just as an example, as he might walk into this church building today. And when we were asked the same question today, have you received the Holy Ghost? Would you be able to answer that question this morning?
Yeah.
And much more than just simply saying, oh yeah, we did that. But what would it look like to answer Paul's question today in your heart and in your life? If it was not Paul and it was somebody on the street, somebody you work with, somebody you're in relationship with in your family and your friends and your coworkers or whatever it might be, in the relationship and the life of the church, can we today say that we know and believe in the Holy Spirit? And that He is a part of our life. Have we received it? Now we understand that if we have received something, as Paul mentions it in this verse here, then we have to know that it is something that was given, right? That the Holy Spirit is something that is given today. It's not something you just catch. It's not something that you can grab a hold of on the shelf and say, I want to have this. It is a gift from the Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ today.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit is an important part of our life today if we want to be a genuine follower of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit today, as Paul mentions it in this verse, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? At the point of believing, what were they believing in then? We have to ask the same question of the church today. What is it that we're believing in this morning? Do we believe in Jesus Christ? Do we believe in the message that Paul was proclaiming throughout his missionary journey and throughout the world, and the same message that God has called us to? Do you believe this morning that there's a God that loves you enough that He gave you an opportunity to know Jesus Christ? And if you believe that this morning, then what about the Holy Spirit? Now we see very specifically from the Word of God today that for us this morning, in the life of the church and in the world that we live in today, for us to receive the Holy Ghost, it follows a step of obedience. In accepting the fact that God sent His one and only Son for you and I to take care of that sin. When we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, which means, very simply, we all know that, right? Do we know how to accept Jesus this morning? God's given us a very clear direction in His Word. All we have to do is admit that we're a sinner. Anybody here not a sinner? You can stand up, jump up and down, raise your hand. Good for you. We know that that's not true of any person in this world. God's Word tells us that. We were born into sin. We continue to sin.
That's right.
Without excuse, every one of us are sinners. We know we've all got the same problem. We've got a sin problem. What we come to next is what does it mean to truly take care of this sin? To believe in our heart that God has a solution for our sin. And that solution was Jesus Christ on a cross.
Amen.
That He shed His blood for us. And that we confess it in our mouth and we believe it in our heart. We believe from our heart that the only solution for my sin problem was Jesus. Mm-hmm. And by confession of that, and we pray in relationship with Jesus Christ that He would come in, that He would forgive us of our sin, that He would fill us with His Holy Spirit. At that moment today, this is what we see this morning in the life of the church. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior, we ask Him to be the Lord of our life, then the Holy Spirit that Paul talks about in this verse moves into our life. So it's very key to understand the context of these verses. All of these individuals that were at the church at this point and this moment had never accepted the Holy Spirit. Why? Because they had never received Jesus Christ. They were living in a lifestyle of obedience. They were living in a relationship with some individuals that supposedly had a relationship with the Lord. And I want you to consider very carefully this morning that this is still happening today in the world that we live in. That there are a great many people today that might be living in an obedient life. They might be doing the things that they feel necessary. They might be living a life that represents something of a Christian, but have never really accepted Jesus Christ. And this was the condition of these individuals in this verse, and it's the condition of a great many people that are sitting in churches all over the world today. There's a condition in the world that we live in that says I'm a Christian because I was born in America, or because I was born into a family that says that we're good, faithful people and we do the right things. And we have a condition in our world that says because we show up to church and we do the right things when we think it's easiest or convenient for us to do it, that we're saved. And Paul dismissed all of those kinds of things in these verses as he challenges to the people at Ephesus, do you have the Holy Spirit? Have you ever received the Holy Spirit? And look at their answer. They said what? We didn't even know if there was such a thing. We had no idea. We have not so much as heard whether there even be a Holy Ghost. Now we very carefully examine that these people that were in fellowship with disciples of Christ had not been educated in the truth of Jesus Christ. And it's so important for us this morning to understand the very basics of what God has called for us today. This is the same message that every person all over our world today needs to hear. That there's a God that loved them, that He sent His only begotten Son to this earth to forgive them of their sin, and He's provided us an opportunity to spend everlasting life with Him. And it's through Jesus Christ and accepting that and receiving the Holy Spirit that we celebrate today.
Amen.
Very simple, very basic message. And it's hard to understand today that we could consider that people would come through the doors of a church and never hear that message.
That's right.
I want you to know this morning, you can't say that about Solid Rock now that you're sitting here, right?
That's right?
You can't say that you haven't heard that Jesus Christ loves you and that He wants to be a part of your life because we just read it. And we just understood it. And it's the most important thing that any church all over this world could ever do is to be careful to tell people about Jesus Christ. And not hide it behind all kinds of other things. The most important message that we could ever proclaim and the most important message that you could ever live in your life today is that you've got a relationship with Jesus Christ and He wants that with every other person in this world. And for any church, wherever you might be, and whatever church you might look at, if they are preaching and teaching anything other than that, or if they are leaving that out, we are wrong.
That's right.
And you should be careful to be cautious about this teaching in the world today.
Amen.
Choose out a church that is faithful and committed to preaching the truth of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Paul challenged this group of individuals to come to knowing who Jesus is and who the Holy Spirit was. They said, we had never heard it. Why hadn't they heard it? Because somebody hadn't proclaimed it. Because nobody was living it that way. Nobody was teaching it that way. And it's important. In verse 3, he said unto them, unto what were you then baptized? And now we're coming into this fellowship in the church, and he says, well, what are you baptized into? What were you living in relationship with? And what they were doing was living what church life looked like without ever really knowing it. It's like going around with this badge on your shirt that says that you're something that you've never really became. It's like going down to the hospital and putting a trench coat on and calling yourself doctor and never really being to school to learn how to be a doctor, right? You can call yourself all sorts of things, but if you've never really done what is necessary to do that, you're not a doctor just because you say you are, right? You're not a nurse just because you say, I feel like I'm a nurse today, right? I'm not a mechanic, I guarantee you. I've never been educated in working on stuff. But I'm not going to call myself that either, right? And we can call ourselves believers today because we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you've never accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, don't call yourself a Christian. The great thing about that is you can take care of that today if you never have.
Amen.
And now, when you leave this place, you can call yourself a Christian because you know how to do it. Because you know what it takes. And when we faithfully become a child of God, then we're expected to share that with others. And what was happening in this early church in the picture of Ephesus was they didn't even know. And Paul says, well, what were you baptized into then? And then, of course, they said, well, the only thing that they knew, they were baptized into the relationship that John had led them in. And what was John teaching them? It's not that he was a false teacher. No, because he proclaimed Jesus Christ. He faithfully proclaimed Jesus Christ, but they had never taken the next step. They'd never been obedient to following in relationship with Jesus Christ. So then Paul told him, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance. What was John saying? Hey, you need to change your life. John was telling them, what you need to do is confess your sin and believe in Jesus Christ. Come to this place of repentance. And they had never done it. They just kind of went through the steps. They went through the motions, and I want to challenge your heart this morning. The most important thing that you could ever do today is stop going through the motions of being a Christian and really, seriously, be the child of God that He has called you to be.
Amen.
Stop living in this situation where we come to church on Sunday and feel good about who we are because we went to church and actually be the follower of Christ that God has called us to be. And we're not confronted with these things in enough in our life today. Because as Christians, we just go through the steps and we go through the motions and we try to say that we're doing good and we point our finger at everybody else that isn't doing it and we feel okay about where we are. And Paul challenged something different here in these verses. That they should believe on Him which should come after Him. That is on Christ Jesus. That was the message that John preached. And Paul reiterated it for them. He says, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. What happened? When they got serious about knowing who Jesus was, what happened? They got saved.
Amen.
That's what it talks about. It says they got baptized. That's that second step of obedience. You recognize what we've talked about throughout the book of Acts.
Amen.
Their evidence that there was a change in their life on this day was that they got wet that day. They got baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. The same pattern. If you haven't been here, I'm praying that it's going to happen. I'm without a doubt, I'm convinced that within the next month, we're going to have some baptisms happening in this church.
Amen.
Because I think there's people that are struggling with whether they ought to do it or not. And I'm just going to keep praying really hard until God convicts them enough to get it done.
Amen.
And if you're serious about being the Christian God's called you to be, you'd be praying for people that don't know Jesus so that they can do it too.
Amen.
But we got plenty of people that need to get it done. And be the faithful servants God's called him to be. That step of obedience, it wasn't the salvation experience. They had that experience. They turned that day, they got saved.
Amen.
And then immediately, just as we've read throughout the book of Acts, they were baptized. And that's what it says here. They were baptized into this relationship now with Jesus Christ. When they heard the truth of Jesus, they accepted it, they believed it, and they followed in obedience. Man, what a pattern would look like today in the life of the church if we just do it. Lord, I don't need to ask questions. I don't need to worry. I don't need to wonder what's going to happen if I do it. I just want to do it. And what if today in our hearts this morning, this life, in the life of the church right here as you sit in this building, you just made a commitment to the Lord today to do what He's called you to do despite anything else. Amen. We just said, yes, Lord, I'll do it. We'll worry about everything else later. When, in verse 6, Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues, and they prophesied. Oh man, we're getting deep now. Right? We get into this consideration. What just happened? Paul prayed with them. They were saved. They were baptized, and they received the Holy Spirit. Again, very distinct situation that was occurring in the early church in the book of Acts, and there are some things that have changed in the church today. I want you to consider that. We receive what we just talked about. We as believers today receive Jesus Christ the moment we pray to accept Him, and the Holy Spirit comes in.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit indwells us. That's the proof of Scripture. If you don't believe me, come and talk to me. We'll find other verses. I'll show them to you. The evidence that you're a Christian is that the Holy Spirit lives in your life.
Amen.
This particular instance, God had given power and ability to Paul to impart to them the Holy Spirit. That's what happened. Today, we don't have that power. I don't care what any man wants to tell you on this earth today. No man on this earth has that power anymore.
That's right.
This was a special gift given by God for Paul in this attitude and action of service. We receive the Holy Spirit today because of the power of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit is imparted unto us. I do not have that ability. No man, woman, person in this world has that ability to do it. If I could give the Holy Spirit to you, I'd gladly do it. It's not something that I have the capability of doing. It's a movement of the Holy Spirit Himself. It's an act of God. And it's something that we should be cautious about today in our world, because we have a growing trend that's occurring that says we can do all kinds of things that the Bible doesn't say we can do. But at this moment, Paul had power that had been given specifically to him by the Heavenly Father. And that's what it says. Paul laid his hands upon them. Does not mean he smacked them in the forehead. Doesn't mean he had any magic powers shooting out of his hands like beams of light or whatever else kind of nonsense you see and hear about today. He had power given to him by the Holy Spirit. He came upon these individuals. He baptized them and they received the Holy Ghost just like we do today when we accept Jesus.
Amen.
And then they spake with tongues, and they prophesied. And now we get a little deeper, right? You're going to hear, we're not going to get too involved in this morning. If you want to study about all of the context of these things, we've got to do a little bit more study. I'm going to challenge your heart this morning. Go home and read about this. We see what happened. They received the Holy Spirit, and then they began to speak in tongues. And tongues is not some weird stuff that you hear about today, people bouncing up and down off the walls and rambling all kinds of funny things that nobody understands. We have to take into context what really is taking place in this church at this moment was that they began to speak languages that they had never been able to speak before.
That's right.
And the reason for that was because they were in a place in Ephesus, in the city, if you study historically, the city of Ephesus was full of people from all over the place.
That's right.
And there were people that could not understand the languages that were there. They spoke other languages, and I don't have that luxury today. I can't speak any other language. I can barely speak English. But it's one of those things that they had need of knowing Jesus Christ. You recognize today there are people all over this world that don't speak English that need to know Jesus.
That's right.
It's the same situation that was happening in Ephesus. In this place, there were people that needed to hear about Jesus. And they didn't have the capability of hearing about Jesus because, as we see it in this context, in these verses, this group of individuals were the ones that knew Jesus. They just came into fellowship and relationship with Christ. They now know the truth. And the truth needed to be shared. And if they needed to share the truth, but they didn't know how to speak a different language, how were they going to do it? God gave them special ability at this moment, and they began to speak in different tongues. Not some rambling, weird nonsense that you might hear about or you might read about today. There was none of that stuff going on. It was speaking in a different language so that others could understand Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that's specifically the power of the Holy Spirit. And we see that evidence in this verse right here because it tells us when they received the Holy Ghost, Then they spake with tongues.
It very quickly eliminates the fact that it could have anything to do with me or you or anybody else.
That's right.
That gets rid of that human variable right there in that verse. That when you hear people again saying, hey, that they have a special gift of speaking in tongues, they don't have that kind of a gift.
That's right.
That's something that somebody has put in their mind and their heart that they have a capability of doing something that nobody else could do.
Yeah.
And I promise you today, if you put out enough effort, you can learn another language, right?
Yeah.
I don't have that much time. I don't have that much energy to learn another language. I would love to be able to speak other languages. There's been times and situations in our life when we're going to come in contact with people that need to know Jesus. And if we don't know how to talk to them, we've got to find somebody that can. These individuals had opportunity to do that in this place, and they spoke in those tongues, and it says they prophesied. And we have to determine, what does that mean? They foretold something. What did they tell? About Jesus Christ. They didn't create no other special message. That's again another very important thing that will be a misconception you will hear in the world today. That people have the ability to speak in tongues and they'll give you some sort of prophecy that nobody else has ever heard.
Right.
I promise you right now, if you study your Bible, there is no more prophecy. It's all right here.
Amen.
There is nothing more than what is already written for the church today. If you haven't ever read it, we start over here and you start at the very beginning. That's what Genesis is, right? In the beginning. And we go to Revelations, you find the end of all things. If we have the beginning and the end as God, our great Lord, ever planned it to be, then how could there be anything more?
That's right.
We have the beginning and the end. They prophesied to these people about Jesus Christ because they'd never heard it before. In verse 7 it says, and all the men were about 12. Now we get specific. Now there was 12 men that were doing this. Why? They've been called out by God. To a very specific task. And he went into the synagogue and he spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. I think it's very key and important little thing that we need to consider in that verse. It's no mistake that it says that there were these 12 men. I want you to consider today, just for a second, we've got almost triple that in this building today, which is kind of light for most Sundays. Normally we've got more than that. Normally we've got 5 times or 6 times that many people in here. We've got triple that amount of people in here today. What if 12 of us were faithful to do what God had called us to do this week? What if those of you that are sitting right here in this room were willing to make a step of obedience to Jesus Christ and prophesy to the lost world about Jesus this week? Would you just for a second consider that there might be 12 new people in this place next Sunday? Because they got serious about Christ?
Amen.
Because of what you said? Because of what you did in your life this week? That you were willing to be obedient? There's an important message in this little context about in verse 7. All the men were about 12. 12 people were faithful. 12 people were committed. And God will use one faithful person if you're willing to do it.
Amen.
The message continued on. He went into the synagogue. It tells us Paul went on and he spoke boldly for the space of 3 months. Look what he says. Disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. He went into this place and he began, just as we've seen throughout the book of Acts, to do the very same thing. Preach, teach the word of God, the truth of God. Look what it says. Persuading them concerning the kingdom of God. Man, what different message does the world need to hear today than that there's a kingdom of God and it's coming? That there's a place beyond this world. There's no more important message than for people today to understand and to know that this world that they're living in and all the things they're living for is passing away.
Sure.
You don't believe me? Start talking to people, right? Start thinking about it. Every one of you know that life is passing away. If you don't, I know nobody likes to talk about death. It's uncomfortable and it hurts. It's difficult. But it's a part of our life. And someday it's going to happen for every one of us. This life and this earth and the things that we're living in and doing and working so hard for, what about eternity? What about what really matters? When the end of the day comes and we've done all the things that we could possibly do. I know busyness of life. I know how life goes for every one of you. Life has been busy. You probably look back on last week and think, man, there was a lot going on and there's a whole lot more that needs to go on next week, right? We've got things just piled up in our life. We go through life so busy What about the kingdom of God? He disputed with these individuals about the kingdom of God. He persuaded them that there is something more important than this world. And look at verse 9. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, it says, he departed from them, and he separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And we see here the same trend that we see in Paul's life, and every time he goes from place to place, right? He goes to the church, he goes to the place of worship, he tells them about Christ. They kind of hear it. Some of them listen, some of them say, man, we don't like you, get out of here, right? What happened? He pulled out the disciples that were willing to follow Christ, and he went to a different place. He didn't stand there and hold his ground and say, you're going to believe, and you're going to do this, and you're going to do that, and he didn't yell and scream and holler at people. He just took the people that were willing to follow Christ and he went on. I wonder this morning, a careful consideration in the life of the church, are we ever consumed with the people that don't want to hear the Word of God and never really take for serious the people that are faithful about Christ? I want to challenge your heart this morning to consider those things. If you're that faithful person, stay faithful. Stay committed to the things of God. Do what God has called you to do, and He will bring the people that have a desire to be in fellowship with us. If they don't want to be here, that's between them and God. If they don't want to be in obedience and relationship with the Lord, we need to pray for them, but we need to keep moving on, finding the people that are willing. Paul took the disciples that were committed to Christ, and he continued on. He says, and this continued by the space of 2 years. Look what happened. So that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Space of 2 years. For 3 months he taught. 3 months he separates out the disciples. And then after the space of 2 years, look what it says. All of Asia heard the word of the Lord. Can you say that today? Can you consider what it might be like to be in a position where the entire place has heard of God and heard about the truth of God? I want you to carefully consider this morning. Would you say without a doubt, if you just stop for a second and think about the small town that we live in? Anybody here really honestly believe that every person in this community has heard of Jesus Christ and had an opportunity to accept Him? The space of 2 years. I challenge your heart for just a minute. Consider a couple of things. How long have you known Jesus Christ yourself? Let's say for most of you that it's probably been more than 2 years. I don't know everybody, but I would say some of you are getting close to 2 years, probably. How long have you known Jesus as your Savior? And what would it have been like for you if for every one of us, within 2 years of meeting Jesus Christ, that we would have told every person we ever met or every person we've ever known about Jesus Christ? Now you think, just for a couple of seconds, about this community that we live in and the body of believers that meets in this place that God has given to us. What if in the next 2 years, 2 years from today, we could honestly say every person in Fowler has heard Jesus Christ, had an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ? Now you figure, we probably have somewhere between 1,200 and 1,400 people, that's what they say. I think it's probably closer to 1,200 in Fowler, in the surrounding area. 1,200, I'll let you do the math, right? 1,200 is not a whole lot of people. And for careful thought, in the verses that we just read, 12 people in the Scripture were faithful to do what God had called them to do. Right? 12 people. Within 12 people that were committed to do what God called them to do, within 3 months this disputing continued to go on, and within 2 years, these 12 people had helped spread the Word of God so that an entire place had heard. All of Asia. That's a whole lot more than 1,200 people, isn't it? There's more than 12 of us in here this morning. I wonder, in your thoughts, in your mind this morning, in 2 years' time, how many people could we reach? So many times in our heart, in our life today, as believers, we put limits on God that aren't really there. And most of the time, those limits are based off of what we can see right now. I want to consider for just a minute 12 people. And I already told you, there was about 36, 38 of us in here this morning. That's children included. You think about it this morning. If those of you that are sitting here right now would make a commitment to tell people about Jesus Christ, how many people could we reach? I mean, if we've got 1,200 and there was 12 of us, I mean, it's simple, easy math says all 12 of us would have to tell 100 people in the next 365 days. That's one person a day. And we wouldn't even have to go that long, right? You can figure out the math. There's more than 12 of us. If 30 of us were willing to tell every person that we meet in the next year about Jesus Christ, we determine real quickly. And it's really easy, right? It's real simple. It should be obvious, right? If somebody knows Jesus or not, isn't it obvious? Because we all look at each other and we know we're saved, right? And you could go out on the street corner right now and look at somebody and know if they know Jesus, can't you? That's the misconception that we live in. We pick and choose. We say, oh yeah, that guy knows Jesus, I'm sure. Why? Because he's a good person. I've talked to him, right? Oh, look at their family. They're great. They're wonderful people. How are we going to know if they know Jesus or not if we don't ever ask? If we don't ever engage in that conversation? If we don't have a desire in our heart for people to know Christ? I'm convinced without a doubt in our mind today, this morning, if 12 of us were willing to make a commitment to Jesus today, that He could turn this entire Arkansas Valley upside down in less than 2 years.
Amen.
And then we could look around and say, man, what would it look like if a faithful church in Fowler, Colorado did what God asked them to do today, June 2nd, 2019, what would it look like if 12 people were faithful? If 12 people faithfully did that and in 2 years an entire country came to know Christ? Man, what would Colorado look like? 2 years from now. Man, can you imagine if the Lord was truly in charge of this community and in the hearts and the lives of every person that sits in this church? And because He's in charge, He moved forward in our life and we allowed Him to do what He wanted to do. And we might have a state in 2 years that wasn't worried about the homosexuality problem. We weren't worried about the drug problem that we're faced with. We weren't worried about all the marijuana and all the things that it's bringing into our communities. We wouldn't worry about whether or not we had leadership that was really faithfully serving God or not. Because it'd be so obvious, every person in every country all over the world would wonder what happened in Colorado that changed. And I know in your heart this morning you say, oh, that's a nice, warm, fuzzy thought, and it'd be a great thing to see. We all wished it would happen, right? Do you believe that it could?
Amen.
Do you believe that it could as much as you say you believe that Jesus is the Lord of your life? That you've accepted Jesus as your Savior? If you believe enough in Jesus Christ that He could save you, why couldn't He save every other person in this world? And if you believe that He really is the Lord of your life, why do you want to spend any more time not doing what He's called you to do? Would you be willing to be obedient to Jesus today? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You this morning. We thank You, Lord, for this beautiful day. We thank You, Lord, for Your presence in this place. And I thank You for the Holy Spirit that is in this place today. Lord, in the reminder that we've been given, the same challenge that Paul brought to the people at Ephesus, do you know? Have you received the Holy Spirit? And Lord, I pray in this place this morning, Lord, that our heart and our life is opened to You today. And Lord, that You'd take seriously, Lord, the need for people to come to know You. And Lord, I pray that the seriousness of Your salvation would be imparted to the hearts and the minds of every person in this place today. Lord, that we'd take seriously this morning our own personal life and our own personal relationship with You. And Lord, that we'd set aside all the burdens and all the worries and all the concerns, all the doubt and hatred and anger and frustration and questions and wonders and whatever else might be controlling our hearts and our minds today. Lord, that we'd come to this place and to this time and an invitation time that we've set aside to be right with You this morning. And I pray, Lord, that it's the heart's desire of every person in this room that we'd let you do what you want to do in our lives. Lord, that today could be an opportunity for us to be the church that you've called us to be. And Lord, that it would be so obvious in our hearts and our lives today that we've made a commitment to you. Lord, that every person all around us would know that it's you that is moving in our life. Lord, you know every heart. You know every life in this place. If there's someone here this morning that's never accepted your free gift of salvation, I pray in this invitation that they'd come. They'd get on their knees right up front here and they'd pray and ask for you to forgive their sins and to come into their heart, to be the Lord of their life. Lord, maybe there's other decisions. Maybe somebody needs to come. Make that final commitment and say, Lord, I want to be obedient to you and take that next step of obedience, whatever it might be. Maybe they need to follow you in believer's baptism. Maybe they need to come and be a part of this church. Maybe they need to do something that we haven't even discussed, but you've put it in their heart and their mind, and they know that they need to do it. I pray you'd help them to do it today. Lord, whatever your will is in this place, I pray, Lord, you'd help us to set aside all the hesitation and just be obedient to you. We're going to be careful to trust you and give you the praise, and we ask these things in your name. Amen. If you will, stand with me. If you're going to use a hymnal, it's 275. Called you to do something, would you do it today? Take a step of obedience. It don't matter what anybody else says, doesn't matter what anybody else thinks, doesn't matter what you think might happen if you were obedient. God already knows. God's already got a plan. He's got a direction for your life. If you trust Him enough to accept Him as your Savior, will you trust Him enough for what's next? Whatever that is, even if you don't know what it is, even if it's uncomfortable. Thank you for a beautiful day. We thank you for your presence in this place, Lord, your spirit that moves and works in our life. And I pray, Lord, as we leave from this place, as we're gathered here this morning, Lord, that we would truly be in an attitude of worship and love and encouragement today. Lord, as we leave this place, that we're strengthened, Lord, because of your Holy Spirit that lives in our life. As we go out into the world, that we take steps of obedience, and that we would be a light to the world that we live in, Lord. We thank you, we praise you, and we ask these things in your name. Amen.